Reading from 1 Peter chapter 2. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The reading begins with, for to this you have been called. But to what? What is the this that Peter means? We started in the middle of something, so it's necessary to take a step back. You might remember that earlier in this chapter, chapter 2, Peter told us, the people of God, that we're a spiritual house of living stones built into Christ, the cornerstone. He told us, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He said, we, who were nobody, nobody at all, are now God's own people. And then, after those majestic descriptions of what we are as God's own people, he goes down to day-to-day life, to the very trenches where we live. Abstain from your sinful desires, he says. Submit to those who govern, he tells us. Be obedient, yes, even honor your master, and that includes the ones who are cruel. Indeed, if they are cruel and wrong you, but you endure in doing good as you suffer, he says that's nothing less than a gracious thing in the sight of God. Literally, it is grace in God. And that is the this that takes us to today's reading. All of that, who you are, who we are in Christ Jesus, and what it is that we are called to do. That's the this, he says. For this you have been called. And why? Why this? Why especially that last part about willingly suffering while doing good, enduring in Christ? Why that for us? Well, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. So it's a gracious thing for us to suffer unjustly. Indeed, it is nothing less than what we've been called for. But now you may wonder, wait a minute, isn't it the great high priest who does the suffering and the dying? Isn't that what this week is finally all about? It's his suffering, it's his death, it's his cross. Didn't he offer himself for the sins of the world so that we would have life, not suffering? Now, make no mistake, this is the Jesus who saves us. This is the Jesus of Holy Week. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. He bore Peter's sin, even those three denials. He bore the sins of those dispersed first century Christians that Peter had in mind, and also us 21st century Christians, our sins, yours and mine. He bore them all in his body on the tree of the cross. Yes, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. and we are given. It's all about Christ Jesus for Peter. Look at him given to us. No sin in him, no slippery talk, no reviling or threatening his enemies. Look at him as he entrusts himself to him who judges justly. He is given to us. Here we are, God's royal priests, forgiven and given Christ, and with him given his life, the whole of it. The life of a people who are possessed by God, possessed for God, possessed to proclaim his excellencies. Yes, possessed to live the excellency of a holy life, of this life, the life we've been given. Christ's life. And so he says, because Christ also suffered for you, he leaves you an example that you might follow in his steps. It is because Christ bore our sins so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Healing by wounds. 2 weeks ago, my niece had a kidney removed so that a friend could receive it. She's about ready to go back to work. He's at home with his family, and he's no longer on dialysis. You might say that by her wounds, he was healed. But there is something far greater here. So much greater. To see the wounds of Christ is to see the priest who is the Lamb. To see him scourged and cruelly crowned and nailed and hung and stabbed is to see the innocent one slaughtered for the guilty. To see him suffer for us. To see him in faith is to have our hearts broken so that they might be replaced, so that by his wounds we might receive a new heart, a living heart, a foreign heart to us in our sin, because it is a heart of the deepest love for the world. A love that will endure suffering, even unjust suffering, so that God might be glorified. To see Christ's wounds in faith is to die to sin. It is to rebuke Satan as he tempts us to live day by day in selfishness. It is to see what God can do with suffering. And it is to entrust ourselves to him who judges justly, and to know that Christ, Christ alone, Christ and his life alone is our salvation and our life. Amen.